Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, let's jump into the message. Let's take a moment and give a big welcome to all of our online guests. We love those that listen online. We're thankful that the word is getting to you. We love you and are praying for you. Today what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up our masterpiece series where we have been sharing tools that will help your marriage stand the test of time. And so you may be sitting here and saying, well, I'm not married. Do I even need to pay attention? Well, one day, if you think you're going to be married, you need to pay attention because what you're going to hear, what you heard in the last 3 weeks and even in today's lesson will save you. So how many of you though that are in the room today that are married would say that your spouse is a bit different than you? Kind of come, you know, raise your hand. Come on. Maybe even the complete opposite. Wow, yeah, like tons of the hands that are up here. You know, it's funny when you're dating, I don't know if you've ever heard this expression, when you're dating, they say that opposites attract, right? How many of you ever heard that? You know, opposites attract. But when you're married, something happens and opposites attack, not attract. How many of you know what I was talking about, right? You know, like what was cute when you're dating suddenly becomes annoying once you get married. Come on, somebody say amen. Well, he's preaching already and he's like 30 seconds in, right? So here, let me ask a few more questions. I want to make sure everybody's awake here. Show of hands from the person in the relationship who is punctual. In other words, getting somewhere on time is really important to you. Come on, let me see the punctual ones. All right, yeah. All right. How many of you would say that you're more creative with your time? Just take your time. Raise your hand. We'll wait for you. Whenever you feel like it, just... The truth is, even though all spouses, all couples share common interests, we are all uniquely created. Some of the areas that Shyla is extremely strong in, I am very weak. Some of the places that I am strong, she is weak. And as a couple, watch this, that God strategically brought together. And I want you to understand, God strategically brought you together. We are meant to be a team. We are meant to complement one another. And this is what I want you to hear, kind of as a foundational point for this message. It's not a fill in the blank, but listen, if you're both exactly the same, then one of you is unnecessary. Now, don't tell your spouse that's you, okay? All right. Often in marriage, we have conflicts that start out as something small, but in time, they grow into something so much bigger. And as time passes in marriage, mistrust grows and lies and deceitfulness. It leads us to build up walls, causing unforgiveness, causing bitterness. And then one day you wake up and you realize that you may be living under the same roof as your spouse, but you're leading two completely different lives. And I don't know if you've ever been there before, but the question can cross your mind, how in the world did we get to being so in love to this place? We went from a place where all of the love songs on the radio made sense and it made our hearts skip a beat. Where we wanted to go to the fair to, you know, no one likes going to the Midway, right? Come on, any adults. Nobody likes going to the Midway. But we wanted to go to the Midway at the fair so we could win a stuffed animal for our baby. And we went from this place where we would purchase unexpected gifts just because. How did we get from that place to fighting over every single thing? You leave the toilet seat up or you leave it down. You don't open the door, you keep the door closed. Where we fight over everything. And we get to that place and all of a sudden it's like we blink and we're headed towards divorce court. I want to let you know it happens so quickly. And so this morning's message is probably the most important message of the entire series. And so I want to talk about never giving up. In fact, I want you, if you're sitting next to your spouse, I want you to look them deeply in the eye. And I want you to say with conviction, never give up. Come on, do it right now. Come on. Come on, say it deeply. Never, never give up. Now, at the onset of this message, I want to clarify that I am not encouraging anyone in this room to stay in an abusive relationship. If that's your reality today, I believe it's wise and it is healthy to separate, to get counseling and make sure you're safe. However, in every other situation, I believe that God is calling us today to develop an attitude that no matter what, we are not giving up. And for the sake of those in the room who maybe you're sitting here and you've come to Jesus and you had a marriage previously that ended in divorce, listen, I don't want you to hear this message and walk away feeling guilty. Chances are you've endured enough guilt to last a lifetime. Some of you are sitting here and you did everything you could to save your marriage. You did all the hard work. You tried everything you could do, but your spouse was unwilling to work with you to course correct. Others of you, you might be sitting here and you can honestly say, you know what, looking back, I did a lot of things that were wrong. And if I could do it all over again, I would do it completely differently. And you carry that weight. But what I want to do today is I want to challenge us. None of us in this room can do anything that even happened to change what even happened before service this morning. What I want us to do is forget the past, because none of us here can change it. But from this moment forward, I want to challenge us as followers of Jesus Christ to carry a never give up attitude. In Matthew chapter 19, there's a very interesting conversation between the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, and Jesus. And what the Pharisees were doing is they were trying to trap Jesus into saying something wrong on the subject of marriage and divorce. And we're going to pick it up in verse 3. It says this: some of the Pharisees, they came and tried to trap Jesus with this question. And they asked, should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Now, I want to pause here in the story and just share a little bit of cultural context when this was written. During this time period, all women were viewed as property. And so a man could simply go up to his wife and say, I don't want you, and for no cause divorce his wife. And so the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus, thinking, you know, how is he going to respond to this? And Jesus, he shocks everyone with his response. And as was the norm for him, if you read his words, he took what was the recognized standard and he takes it over the top. He takes it to a whole nother level. Watch this, verse 4. He says, haven't you read the scriptures? Don't you love Jesus? He's talking to the religious leaders and he says to them, haven't you ever even read your Bible before? Right? And Jesus replied, and then he quotes in Genesis, they record that from the beginning, God made them, he made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. I want you to notice here, scripture is very clear, they are one. Jesus was not saying, what he wasn't saying here was that once you get married, you no longer have a personality, you no longer have giftings, you no longer have an identity. But he was telling us that when a man and woman come together, they are now one, they are united in God's eyes. They are one flesh. Verse 6, it says, since they are no longer two but one, watch this, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Now, I've got two pieces of paper. I don't know why blue always represents the guys and pink always represents the ladies, but I've got two pieces of paper and I've got this Gorilla Glue, and I'm really hoping I don't super glue my fingers together for this illustration. But if I take this glue and if I run this glue down here, and that's a lot of super glue right there. Do you, anybody ever have a problem with super glue? Like anytime you use it and you're like this for like a week, you know, and it, like, all right. So if I take this here, all right, and I put these two pieces of paper together, God is saying that when you are married, you become like these two pieces of paper that are glued and stuck together. I want you to recognize they both still have their identity. They both still have their distinction, but they are no longer, ooh, they came apart. Yeah, if it was my fingers, I wouldn't be doing this for weeks right here. Yeah, it's got to dry. Yeah, and it's already stuck. Now my fingers are stuck to the back of this. This is lovely, all right? And so when God puts them together, they are no longer individual sheets, but they become one. And I want you to recognize that this is why divorce, it hurts so much. Because when you get divorced, it's literally like ripping your heart out. Those of you that have been divorced in the room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you, maybe you're sitting here, you haven't been divorced, but your parents divorced when you were a little child, and you're acutely aware of the pain that that caused. And so listen, no matter what you believe about it theologically, you can understand the pain. And so these two pieces of paper that God says, hey, what I've joined together, let no one be torn apart. What happens when we divorce? There is no way for them to come apart, but instead, what has to happen is a tearing occurs, all right? And when we're torn apart, listen, we're not the same as we were before. It gets messy. The sheets are no longer intact. There are rips and tears. And so, listen, I want you to recognize that in our marriages, the very same thing is true. And that's why divorce is so incredibly painful. In fact, Pastor Anlie Stanley, when he teaches on marriage, he says it this way: you can't unone what God made one. And the problem in our culture is that people don't understand what marriage really is. They think that marriage is an agreement or a contract, but really it's not either of those things. I want you to recognize that God ordained marriage, and marriage, it is a covenant. I want to explain the difference between those two things. The first fill in the blank in your sermon outline, I encourage you to take some notes and follow along. The first thing is this: a contract is based on mutual distrust. A contract is based on mutual distrust. It basically says, hey, I am in as far as you're willing to be in. And so, for example, when you or I, if we were to leave a service here today and we would go to rent a home to live in or to move into, we would sign a contract. Why do we do that? Because I don't trust the landlord. And truthfully, the landlord doesn't really trust me. And so the contract, what it basically says, once you get past all the legal terminology, it says, I'm in as far as you're in. And if as a tenant, you don't do what you've agreed to, then the landlord can remove you. And as a landlord, if the landlord doesn't follow through on what they promise, then as a tenant, you have a course of judgment against them. In other words, what it essentially is saying is, I trust you as long as you perform. I trust you as long as you do what I think you should do. And if you don't live up to my expectations, then I'm out. And that's why we see in our society today over 50% of marriages ending in divorce. And this, because this is what so many people do. They honestly believe that as long as you make me happy, as long as Shyla is meeting my needs, as long as nothing better than her comes along, then we'll stick with this. But if you don't hold up your end of the bargain, then I'm out. And so what I want you to understand is marriage, it is not a contract, it is a covenant. And so the next blank, a covenant is based on mutual commitment. It's based on mutual commitment. A covenant is a permanent, everybody say permanent, permanent relationship. I want you to recognize, I want you to understand God is a covenantal God. God makes relationships with his people that are permanent. God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, right? And so when you study the Hebrew word that's translated as covenant in our Bible, it is the word berith, and it literally means, it means a cutting. And so what would happen is in the Old Testament, they would take a bull and they would literally cut the bull right in half down the middle, and they would lay them side by side on the ground, and the two parties that were making this covenant together, they would walk inside of the bull in around seven times, signifying the covenant. And they would say this, they would say, if I break my covenant, then what happened to that bull, let it happen to me. I want you to recognize this was serious business. In the Old Testament, when couples would get married, they would come and stand before a representative of God, and the officiant would take the hand of the groom, and he would literally take a knife, and he would cut it with a blade till blood began to flow. And then he would take the hand of the bride, and he would cut her hand until it would bleed. And then he would take their hands, and he would join them together. Why did they do this? Because the book of Leviticus tells us that a person's life is in the blood. And so they would literally mingle their lives together. And as they clasped their hands together, the priest would take a rope and he would tie their hands together, symbolizing, hey, these are no longer two separate entities, but these are one entity. What God has joined together, do not let any man separate. And so that's why I believe that if you still have a choice in your plans, come and stand before a minister of the gospel and make vows to one another and make vows to God. Andrew, do you take Shiloh to be your wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, forsaking all others? Be faithful to her as long as she makes you happy, right? No. As long as she fulfills her part of the deal, right? No, that's not there. As long as nobody else better comes along, right? No, none of that's in there. It says, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live. I want you to understand there is no end date on a covenant. A contract has an expiration, but a covenant is until death do us part. So help me God. And so I challenge you this morning, don't ever give up. A story is told of Ruth Graham, who is the spouse of of Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists that the world has ever known. And so if you know anything about Billy Graham, he traveled around the world going into just all these nations and doing these huge crusades and reaching people with the truth of the gospel. And Ruth, at times, he struggled with his extensive travel schedule. I mean, this was back when, you know, you couldn't get around nearly as easy as you can. And so he would literally be gone, could you imagine this, up to 6 months at a time. And you can imagine how difficult it was raising kids without her husband there. And one time a reporter asked Ruth Graham, he asked her, he said, did you ever consider divorcing Billy when there were hard times in your marriage? And she said, I never considered divorcing him. I considered killing him a few times, but never divorce. And the reality is when we make a covenant before God, we need to determine to keep that covenant no matter what. And so you might be sitting here saying, well, you know what? I'm not happy with my spouse right now. I don't trust him or she's not this and she's not that and I don't love him or I don't love her anymore. Listen, to get divorced because you've run out of love would be like selling your car because you've run out of gas. We need to learn how to refill the love. And listen, don't get me wrong. I know that there will be times when you say and when you think, but I don't have any more love to give. Come on, anybody ever been there? Anyone want to be honest? I don't have any more forgiveness to give. I don't have any more grace to extend. But guess what? That's when we need to seek God. That's when we need to press into Him. Because when we don't have any love to give, we've got to let the love of God show through us. And I've experienced this in my own life, times that God forgave through me when I didn't have the strength to forgive, and times that God loved through me when I couldn't love. We need to let God do through us what we don't have the strength to do in us. And so what do you do when you're seeking God? What do you do when you're doing all of the right things, but you're not seeing the results that you're longing for? Come on, anybody ever been there before? I want to encourage you to remember the principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says this, don't be misled. In other words, don't be ignorant. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always, somebody say always. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. And this next verse is the one that some of you in this room must really hang on to. Verse 9, it says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up. And so I want to give you three principles of sowing and reaping that are true not only in marriage, but these are true in every area of your life, in your business, in your studies, in your in every area these are true. The first one, number one, it's going to be like, duh, Andrew. Number one, you reap what you sow. You reap what we sow. If I plant an apple seed in the ground, as much as I pray over it, as much as I want it to, an orange tree is never going to pop out. And we've seen this. We all experience this in our lives when you're going through the store and you're just kind of in your routine, you're just kind of in your own little world, but you make eye contact with someone and they smile at you. What do we do? we smile back, right? We reap what we sow, right? If somebody flips you off when you're driving down the road, what are you likely to do? Pray for them because you're all Christians, right? No, if not, right? If someone flips you off, you're not going to have a loving response. Probably two fingers, no hands on the steering wheel, and your elbows on the horn at the same time. Don't ask me how I know about that, all right? In marriage, if someone shows grace, compassion, and thoughtfulness, what are you likely to show back? You're going to show back grace, compassion, and thoughtfulness. Listen, if someone relentlessly complains, compares, and is critical, what's going to happen? You're going to eventually receive defensiveness and anger and self-justification. Listen, all of these things will harm your marriage. The harvest you bring in completely depends on the seeds that you plant. If you don't like what your marriage is, what are you planting? Here's the second one, number two. You reap more than you sow. You always reap more than you sow. A single kernel of corn planted, when matured, will produce over 800 kernels. And now, man, I just want you to catch this. Don't miss this. Always remember, never forget this. In your marriage, in your life, remember that women are multipliers. Whatever you give them, they have a special and a unique ability to multiply it. And so some of you have experienced this. You know, you get out on your own, you move out from mom and dad, hopefully by the time you're 35. But anyway, you get out on your own and you have this great bachelor pad that, you know, you're honestly kind of proud of, right? And you got all this cool stuff. But then you get married and your spouse comes in and they do their thing and they magically turn that bachelor pad into a home where things match and actually smell good. How do women do that? They multiply. You know, they go buy groceries from the same store that you've been shopping at while living off of ramen noodles and Hot Pockets and beefaroni for the last 8 years, right? They go to the same grocery store and they come in and they make a meal that's better than anything you've ever eaten. They multiply, right? You give them flowers. You give them affection. You give them communication. You give them tenderness. They're going to give you some Go Diego Go time. Those of you that weren't here last week, you're going to have to go back and listen to the podcast. You give them your physical love and they'll give you a child. They multiply. Guys, I don't even need to tell you this, but if you give your woman a hard time, they'll give you hell. Yeah, somebody said amen. Here's the bottom line. If you don't like what you're getting, look at what you've been giving. And if you don't like what you've been getting, take a look at what you've been giving and planting. Something that I've tried to do in our relationship, even when times have been tough, especially in those seasons when things were really difficult, instead of pointing my finger at Shyla, I heard someone say this, it's kind of lame, but it's true. Point your finger at someone, you got three pointing back at you. So instead of pointing my finger at her, I've started to do a personal inventory over what I've been planting. I've been looking at the seeds that I've been contributing to the relationship. And listen, it can be scary once you start doing that, becoming self-aware. But by taking inventory of what we've been giving and sowing, we will quickly, I promise you, it's going to be painful and it's going to be hard, but you will quickly discover the reason that you're reaping the fruit that you're harvesting. And then here's the third thing. The third thing, number three, you reap where you sow. You reap where you sow. If I go over here and I plant a seed over there, if I plant the seed there, I'm not gonna get a tree over here. If I plant 100% of my energy, my effort, and my passion into my hobby, it will not help my marriage be stronger. I may get better at golf, I may become a better hunter, I might become better at knitting or gardening, but it's not going to help my marriage. Now listen, I'm not preaching against having a hobby. I think we all need to have that, but we need to have it in the proper place. If I put all of my energy into the kids and we become self-centered parents, is that gonna help my marriage? The answer is no, it's not. If I put all of my energy and my effort into furthering my career, is that going to help my marriage? The answer is no, it's not. And honestly, can I say as loving as I can say this morning, some of us are in the position that we are in our marriage right now because our priorities are out of alignment. We have to guard our priorities. If anything moves into the place our marriage should be, we are going to struggle. And so we must determine my marriage will be as good as I decide for it to be. It's a choice. It's a choice. I don't want you sitting there in the audience today thinking that because I'm a pastor, that we don't have any problems, that we don't have any issues. We've got the same difficulties that you have. But we've decided to treat each other as a masterpiece. We've decided when we make mistakes to forgive. We've decided to have fun. We've decided to fight fair and that we're not going to give up. And some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, well, okay, Pastor Andrew, I hear you, but I don't feel like being nice. Come on, anybody ever been there in your marriage? I don't feel like working on it. I don't even feel like staying married to this person. I don't feel like it, so I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to do it. And if that's where you find yourself today, let me humbly ask this question. What other area of your life can you make that excuse and get away with it? Think about it. I'm tired. I don't feel like working this year. Well, if you don't work, you don't eat. I don't feel like taking care of my kids anymore. And if you've had kids, you've all felt that at least once. They always need something. The baby never stops crying all the time. I just don't want to be a parent anymore. Well, what do? You overcome those feelings and you put your big boy pants on or your big girl pants on and you go be a parent, right? Well, I don't feel like paying taxes. I mean, the people in Washington, they don't represent me. They don't share my values. I'm not paying them anymore. Let me know how that works out for you in 5 or 6 years. In all of these situations, what do? You overcome your feelings and you do what's right. You do what's required. Come on, I want you to know this morning that our feelings will always follow our actions. And so we need to determine, I've got to change some things and I'm never, ever going to give up. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And some will say, well, I've been doing what's right. I've been trying my hardest and I'm tired and I feel like throwing in the towel. Listen, let me encourage you and say that God's timing is not always our timing. And at just the right time, at just the right moment, even when it feels like we can't go any further, at just the right moment, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You can make it. So many times people will look up here at the stage and they'll say, well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. You're the pastor and everything is perfect in your life. I mean, you don't even have to, you float into your pants. You know, you don't even have to, like, your relationship is great. And for some reason over the years, my wife will confirm this to you, people will message us on social media and people have commented how our relationship has been an inspiration to them. And just let me be so transparent with you this morning. And I just want to let you know that years ago, we faced some very, very dark days. We've gone through some things that most couples choose to end their marriage over. Shyle and I both know what it means to cry ourselves to sleep at night. It was so bad that the agony that I felt over how fractured our relationship had gotten made me physically ill. I remember having to get out of the car and throw up on the side of the road. And I want you to understand that our marriage didn't collapse overnight. It was a slow fade. And over the years, we had stopped treating one another as a masterpiece. And we weren't fighting fair. And we stopped having fun together. But thankfully, thanks be to God, we had made a covenant. Marriage was till death do us part. It was for better, for worse. And we determined we weren't going to give up when times got tough. And I want you to hear me this morning. We had to learn that the grace of Jesus was enough to cover our mistakes. We had to learn that it was okay to not be okay, but that it was not okay to not be okay and not get the help we needed. And so we went and got professional help. And we read books together and we journaled together and we cried together and we prayed together. And I prayed and prayed, God, I can't change her. So please, Lord, you're going to have to change me because I'm not going anywhere. I want you to understand, God met me at that place of brokenness and he changed my heart. And we started putting into practice the things that we've talked about in this series. And listen, it was not easy. It was hard work. Healing and fixing and changing our relationship. It didn't happen overnight. There were days that it felt like we were making progress and we'd take a step forward only for the next day to come. And it felt like we'd take 8 steps back. But we started sowing the right kind of things even when we didn't feel like it. Hear me, sow the right things. Make the determination, even though I don't feel like it right now, I'm gonna sow the right things. Even when it seems futile, even when it seems hopeless. And I want you to understand that here we are years later, we are now reaping the great things that we started sowing in the painful seasons. The seeds that we started sowing when we cried and we didn't know if we were gonna make it. And we have seen firsthand how God has not only restored our marriage, but he's brought us closer together than we've ever been. I am standing up here this morning. We are here leading this church together as an example of God's grace and God's mercy. You haven't gone too far. God will reach you. God will touch you. Never, ever, ever give up. As I close this morning, there's an incredible verse of scripture about God's love. It tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus endured the pain of the cross. Jesus, who was without sin, he actually took on sin. He became sin for us. The Bible tells us that in his agony, he cried out, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He never gave up when he was being beaten, when he was being tortured, when he was being mocked. He never gave up. And this is why scripture tells us that it was for the joy set before him that he endured the pain of the cross. You may say, well, what's that? The joy that was set before him was you. It was me. It was your spouse. Jesus endured the torment because we could come into relationship with him. And when we come into relationship with him, that brings him great joy. Scriptures tell us that when we call on his name, when we repent of our sins, that there are angels in heaven who rejoice because every sin you've committed will be washed away. The reason that you're here today is to be made brand new. If you're here this morning and you're ready to give your life to Jesus, if you're ready to have a fresh start, maybe you're sitting here today and you're married, but if you're being honest, if you're being truthful, you need a fresh start in your marriage. Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, we can't change it anyway. But from this point forward, I press on to the mark of the high calling. So if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, if you're ready to renew your commitment with him, if you're ready for a fresh start in your marriage, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you need that fresh start today, why don't you just lift your hand to heaven so I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Mom, this is the greatest thank you. I see your hand there. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you. I see your hand there. Thank you. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for your grace. Lord God, for these hands that were raised, those that never said yes to Jesus. Lord, we simply come to you in our brokenness, in our filth, and we repent, which means we're going to stop going our own way, and instead we're going to move towards you. Lord God, thank you for loving us enough. Thank you for considering me a joy to endure what you endured at the cross. Father, wash us and cleanse us. Lord Jesus, I pray for every marriage that's represented in this room today. And I know the enemy, he wants to deceive us. He wants us to fall prey that marriage is about us being happy. But really, marriage is about being your hands and your feet to our spouse. It's about serving. It's about giving. In fact, your word tells us, husbands, that we should love our wives as you love the church. And how did you love the church? You gave your life for it. And so, Lord Jesus, I know that in this room, there are marriages that need a reset today. And Lord God, I pray that you would give us the courage, the strength, the tenacity, Lord God, to push forward and never, ever give up. Because no matter how broken it may seem, if we sow the right seeds, your word won't come void. What we sow, we will reap. And so, Lord, I pray protection over marriages here. Lord Jesus, I pray clarity. Lord God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that the devices the enemy wants to use, the walls that we built up that are preventing intimacy, Lord God, right now in this moment, let those walls begin to fall. Some of us have gotten so cold in our relationship with one another, it's actually choking you out. We built those walls so high that not only can our spouse not get through, but you can't get through. And Lord Jesus, right now, I pray in your name that those walls will begin to crumble and those walls will begin to fall. In due season, we will reap if we don't give up. Let that be our motto. Let that be our battle cry. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.